Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. This is Bruce Norris. Once again, we're joined by Philip Tyrone, the owner of the Mortgage Equity Group. He has 10 years' experience as a mortgage broker in subprime and A paper, and also is the author of Seven Steps to a 720 FICO Score, published by Nightingale Conant. Philip, once again, we welcome
you. Bruce, it's always a pleasure being here.
Right at the end of the last show, we talked about how the payments adjust and really get people motivated to see if there's a solution. So let's talk about some of the hurdles that they're going to be facing. First of all, how are the values of the properties holding up?
Well, they're definitely – well, here's the problem with – you know, the problem with what we're being faced with when you ask how are the values being held up,
yes,
is there's two problems with that and two aspects from a lender's perspective. Because if a client asks me, you know, what's the value of my property, obviously I refer them to a real estate agent. I don't know what actual market value is and what it would sell for. However, I do know from a lender's perspective that the appraisers are having a big impact on our lending criteria. And the reason why is the lenders are being, you know, when I say lenders, I mean the Countrywide, the Bank of America's, the Wells Fargo's, the Washington Mutual's, are much more stringent on the appraisals they look at. We're seeing many more lenders request value checks or appraisal reviews on properties.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the appraisers are a little gun-shy, because what happens is when we work with appraisers that are, you know, independent appraisers and that don't work for the bank,
right,
we typically, the appraisers that don't work for the bank and are independent, they're much more knowledgeable. So they understand the complexity of the market. That's why we personally use them, as opposed to going to a bank to get an appraisal, because the values most of the time don't get there.
Okay.
Or don't get to where we need to be to make the loan work.
Right.
But what's happening is when an independent appraiser submits a loan, and we submit a loan to, say, Bank of America, and Bank of America reviews the appraiser, and the appraisers that Bank of America have on staff cuts the value and says, you know, we don't think this home's worth $1 million. We think it's worth $950,000. Well, after a few value checks or a few value cuts,
mm-hmm,
the appraiser could be downgraded on the list at the bank.
Okay.
So what happens is I hear this, and this is a big problem we're having right now in the lending industry. I'm calling my appraiser and saying, there's no way this property's only worth that. And he said, Phil, my appraiser is saying, Phil, from a sales standpoint, I don't know what it would sell for, but I'm just telling you, this is how we're going to get it through the lenders.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can't submit a loan and have it cut. The lenders are being more restrictive on the appraisals, so that's having a big impact on the loans we can do.
I would say so, because I would think that many people that are sitting across from you might, in fact, owe more on their principal than they did when they originated the loan. Is that true?
Oh, well, that's absolutely the case, especially if they took out a home equity line of credit, or they took an option arm loan or an adjustable loan,
right,
that has negative amortizing, then that is the case. And many times people come back to me and say, hey, I want to refinance. And, you know, they signed up for the free home equity line of credit.
Right.
And they took that $50,000 and they bought two jet skis and paid off their car. And now all of a sudden, you know, their loan's higher. So with the flattening of the real estate market and softening, obviously, in some areas, combined with the fact that the lenders are strong or are more stringent on appraisals,
mm-hmm,
and combine that with the fact that the underwriting guidelines are tougher.
Okay.
That is, so it's just a three, you know, we're going to hit three different ways.
It's like we're being squeezed in a vise now.
Yeah.
How different are the qualifications from 2 years ago? So let's say I just got that option arm loan for, mm-hmm, $400,000 or $500,000, whatever the number is. What are the odds that I would be able to refi that today with exactly the same stats, same FICO score, same earnings and everything?
Well, you can't. The short answer is you can't refinance it with the same exact stats. I mean, we don't even have to go back 2 years. Let's go back 6 months.
Okay.
Let's go back to the beginning of the year, 8 months. The underwriting guidelines have changed so significantly. We have underwriters, we have banks, and that are literally sending us updated underwriting guidelines every week. I mean, Countrywide came out this morning and said loan-to-value guideline adjustment, and basically they're no longer doing 100% financing or 95% financing on their state income loans. So they literally, on last week, for certain clients we could do 100%, but the most of the clients could not qualify for 0% down state income financing.
Mm-hmm.
But 95% was very popular.
Let's say you were in process, you know, you sold a home 2 weeks ago,
uh-huh.
the loan's in process, and the offer was accepted, and the assumption was that 95% loan would be available, and maybe even had one of those pre-qual letters.
Yeah.
What's the odds of that program funding that purchase?
Well, I mean, it's not. Like, these banks are saying it's no longer valid. I can give you a personal story last week. I had a client, we had loan docs were out.
Okay.
Meaning we had the loan documents.
Right, so that's pretty far into the process.
Yeah, and we got an email from the bank, and the bank said, this was Thursday night at 11:50, we got the email, and saying, the bank, the holding company that is buying our loan is no longer buying our loans, your loan docs are invalid, find another bank.
Hmm.
I mean, that far. Now, I got to tell you, Bruce, I mean, first thing I did when I started seeing this, I called the top agents I work with, or you know, the agents that consistently we work together, and I said, be very, very careful. Do not waive loan contingencies if you're representing buyers.
Absolutely.
Because we just can't afford it. Now, we experienced this 4 months ago with the subprime. So when the subprime shook, when the shakeout happened, we told people, any loan you're doing with 0% down or 95% down,
mm-hmm.
great. Don't waive loan contingencies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, literally last week, we just got slapped again. And then this time, it's instead of warning 95 or 100, now we're worried about, you know, the any type of stated income. I mean, there are some lenders that came out last week and said, we're no longer doing stated income loans.
Okay. If they quit doing stated income loans, does that pretty much leave the prime borrower as the one of the few buyers of real estate?
Well, not just prime borrowers. The prime borrowers that can document your income, which is, I mean, I got to tell you, that's from my experience, you're talking, you know, 30% of the population.
Okay.
I mean,
why don't you tell us I'd like to know what a prime borrower is. How do you define it? When you look at it, you go, okay, that guy's a prime borrower.
Well, before the whole worry about stated income, it would be very easy. If you have a 720 credit score below, or I mean, excuse me, 720 credit score or higher,
yes,
you're a prime borrower.
Okay,
you're great shape, because statistically speaking, in the past, if you had a 720 credit score, you're in great shape. And literally, we have lenders that would disregard, you know, 80% of the loan application if you had a 720 credit score.
Okay.
Okay. And now the banks are still doing that. However, you need to put down payment now. Now you need to say, okay, you can have a 720 credit score, which is great. And by the way, Bruce, whether you have a 720 or an 820, it makes no difference.
Okay.
For whatever reason, 720 is the magic number.
Okay.
That's why the book's called Seven Steps 720, obviously.
To get there, yeah.
And I lost my train of thought.
No problem.
If you have a 720 credit score, you're in good shape. Now what we're finding is you don't need just a 720 credit score. You need 720 credit score with the down payment. Now, depending on the down payment would depend on the type of loan you get. Because if you have if you're doing a conforming loan or a loan under $417,000,
right,
for a, you know, a single family home, you're going to get a great, great loan. If you're putting say 10% down or 20% down, many banks will come back to you and say, we don't need to see income documentation.
Okay.
However, if you have a 699 credit score, your chances are you're not going to get those automated findings, because these are just come back automated from the computer.
Okay.
So then you're going to need to either show money in the bank, or you need to show income and prove your income.
Let's say I'm a 720 FICO score, mm-hmm. and I I have a loan balance of $400,000 on a home that now appraises for $400,000, and I have an adjustable payment that's coming due, and I want to solve that problem, and I have a high FICO score. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be asked to reduce the principal of that loan?
Let me ask you a question. Will you? Does this person, can they qualify with their banks or with their tax returns or not?
No.
Then, yeah, you absolutely are going to have to come in. If it's a $400,000 value, that borrower is going to have to come in with $40,000, 10%.
Wow.
To solve it.
If they're not full doc, as we call it.
If they're not full doc. Now, I will tell you, as I said, 8 months ago, no problem.
Well, see, that's why this is a significant problem. I did a newsletter last night, and I talked about really the tip of the iceberg. You're sitting across from people on a regular basis that have this situation that's pending, and yet they're perfectly current. So they're not on the radar of anybody saying, oh, that's a problem borrower.
Right.
They're perfect FICO score, and they're still making their payments. But when it adjusts to an impossible payment and they have to come up with $40,000, the options start to disappear.
Yeah.
And so they could join the ranks of people that are having a problem.
Well, Bruce, on that note, I mean, I have a real-life example. A client came to me very similar to yours, just the numbers were doubled. They bought a property with no money down a year ago, and their payments were like $4,000 a month. And they came to me and they said, you know what, my payment's going to adjust in a year. Can you refinance me? And because their home didn't go up in value, I couldn't refinance them. I could not refinance them. I said to him, I said, well, you have two options, sell the property or come in with, you know, $80,000. And they didn't have the $80,000 to pay down the loan. And two, if they sold the property, they were underwater $60,000.
Wow.
So they can afford the payment right now, but in a year that payment's jumping $8,000.
Do you think the lender, if you call the lender and explain that to them, would there be an ear that would say, oh, we see this is going to be a foreclosure coming in the future, let's help you solve it? Or,
you know what, in my experience thus far, the lenders don't seem to understand or get the severity of this problem.
Right. There's a word that's missing. It's called the eventuality of even one file. In other words, take a look at this file and tell me how it's going to play out any other way.
Right.
That's what is missing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I've had clients that, you know, we've called for short sales, and literally it's almost like they're arrogant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm like, well, the borrower can't qualify. They're already late. Help us with this client. Help us with getting out of this transaction. And they're like, you know, it's like an arrogance about it. Well, like, no, you know, you've just got to figure out a way to make it work. So the short answer is I have not personally seen, I mean, I've heard it. I've read in the paper how, you know, these banks are pledging tens of millions of dollars to help subprime.
Right.
Or hundreds of millions of dollars, and they set up programs, and, you know, they're going to walk you through it. And I just haven't seen it.
I talked to chief economist of Freddie Mac and asked him that question, and it was he said it's been very difficult to enact it because the people in foreclosure even won't even talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's typical because people kind of hide and they're embarrassed. And so even if there was a solution, it would be difficult to get a very large percentage of participation because they can't talk to the people.
Wow, yeah.
So let's talk about there's a 417 loan that is really the maximum that Fannie Mae is involved in purchasing. After
right.
that, that's called the jumbo loan world, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Between 417 and 650 is considered, that's a textbook answer for jumbo, and over 650 is considered super jumbo.
Super jumbo. I was waiting for the word for that. Okay. Do jumbo loans come in Alt-A, subprime, and prime as well?
Yes.
Okay. What would be the interest difference on a prime jumbo for, let's say, a fixed loan and a subprime or Alt-A, either one? Just want to see the interest rate difference. Are they all available in fixed, by the way?
Well, yes and no. So you're talking, what are the rates difference in a jumbo category?
Yeah.
Just comparing the jumbo prime, Alt-A, and subprime.
And the reason why I'm thinking about it is that since real estate in California is typically more than 417, I would imagine we have a lot of jumbo loans out there.
Right. Well, so what it would be is, first of all, you can get 30-year fixed easily on the prime loans and the alternative A or alt A, alternative A loans.
Okay.
And say, for instance, the prime loan would be 7%, alt A would be a half to three quarters higher.
Okay.
Now, the subprime, you would never get a 30-year fixed subprime. Because they just, that's not how they sold them. They always sold them in 2 and 3 year fixed loans.
Okay.
Now, part of the problem, and this is a lot of the legislation that's out there right now, is that many mortgage brokers would, put their clients on 2 year fixed rates.
Correct.
With a 3 year prepayment penalty.
Yeah, that's pretty handy to have.
I mean, where's the integrity there?
Not too good.
I never really understood that, but. So, for example, but many of the loan, the subprime, it's 2 and 3 year fixed. So those would be equal to the, alt A, 30-year fixed rate.
Okay. The jumbo prime, has it changed in interest rate significantly during this 6 or 8 month period of adjustment? Has that interest rate changed very much?
Yeah, it's up about 0.75%.
Okay.
But what's interesting is just last week, we saw rates move opposite of the bonds, where we typically follow the 10-year and
Correct.
We can predict interest rates.
Right.
Well, the 10-year improved and our rates went up because of the credit crunch which we're seeing.
Okay. The word is out there, they're pricing in, it's not perceived risk, but has to do with risk. They're recalculating risk. That's the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
What has caused them to consider finally the risk of what they've been involved in?
Well, what they're seeing is obviously we're just seeing foreclosures go up.
Okay.
And we're seeing that it's not just, 4 months ago, there was all this talk on the street. Well, it's isolated to subprime. It's just the new centuries of the world.
Right.
It's just the Fremonts. And, like you said, it's the expectation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the expecting of what's going to happen.
Well, the eventuality.
The eventuality, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like that client I spoke about, we know that Countrywide's looking at that loan or Bank of America, whoever that lender is, and saying, oh, that's a performing loan. We're going to have no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I know, and your listeners who study the market and understand, follow you and understand how trends go, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's now Alt-A, just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Were they in 2004 and 2005? Were they typically capable of being 100% stated loans?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, so we've got a whole bunch of those Alt-A with stated income. So they had a higher FICO score, but they didn't need a down payment, and they really could have maybe fudged on the income statement as well.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, the key difference between prime and Alt-A would be down payment, would be the leverage. Alt-A, if a client came to me and they had a great credit score,
right,
but they needed a really push, like say they were buying a 4-unit building,
mm-hmm,
with only 5% down.
Yes.
Or you saw it, these non-owner occupied properties.
Yes.
Investment properties with 5% down.
Mm-hmm.
Those would all be Alt-A.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a 5% decline in price would give them 100% loan.
Yeah. I mean, well, not only that, it's 100% loan less a sales commission.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, we're definitely underwater in a lot of properties that we're really not considering the eventuality of what's about to play.
Yeah.
There's no
right.
other way. Yeah. Okay. Now, let's go through this now. You're sitting across from somebody, and the options really aren't there. They can't write an $80,000 check. They can't sell it and pay off a $60,000 brokerage fee, and they decide, okay, we've got to lose their home. In their minds, they've probably just thought, we are no longer ever going to own a home.
Right.
Where do they go from there? First of all, let's say, how damaging is a foreclosure to a FICO score?
It's damaging. It's severe. I mean, it's not even what happens to the FICO score, because the reason why the FICO score is damaged, not just from the foreclosure, but what typically happens is that all of a sudden it shows a 30-day mortgage wait, 60-day, 90-day, 120-day mortgage wait. That's what's damaging to the credit score.
Okay, is the progression of that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And especially if you combine that with the credit card late, the car loans that are late. I mean, it's just the combination of everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, when that happens, it obviously has a big impact. However, the way our credit score is, you know, designed, it's not a, it does not have to be a long-term impact.
Well, how do they, okay, because most people really don't think of it that way. They think, okay, you know, you've had a foreclosure, that's pretty much the end of you. And so what's the journey back? So you're not really going to be capable of getting a mortgage for a while, but how long does it take, and what can people do to help themselves during that interim 2 or 3 years where somebody will look and say, okay, these people are getting healthier and their FICO score is definitely has improved. So what's that journey like for them?
Well, the key thing is, and this is what 7 Steps to 720 is all about, is, you know, there's a lot, there's a key difference between understanding your credit score and what works versus credit repair that we've all heard about.
Okay.
And, I mean, I've seen it. I've dealt with it personally. The reason why I've written the book is because I personally had bad credit. I was personally turned down from credit, you know, 9, 10 years ago. And it was, and I remember being turned down for credit and then 9 months later buying a home. And I would bought a home. It was a jumbo loan. And I was overpaying like $600 a month. And I thought to myself, I'm a mortgage broker. I don't understand my credit. And I'm overpaying $600 a month. I need to figure this out for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was just that disconnect. And the thing is when it comes to credit scoring, it's not so much the fixing of the past, because many people, once they have a foreclosure, their knee-jerk reaction is, hey, I'm going to pay $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000 and have someone get this foreclosure off my record.
Right.
The problem is with that is, statistically speaking, those things work 20 to 30% of the time. So you pay someone, you know, $5,000 to get a foreclosure off your record. It only, the chances of it working 20-30% of the time, and then try to follow up with them and find them.
Well,
chances are they're working in their house or something.
Well, it's also supposed to legitimately be there. So
yeah.
Is there any ramifications for doing something that's kind of tricky to get it off?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, the thing is these credit repair companies, they say to you, well, we just make sure that the person filing, the lender filing the foreclosure, followed the guidelines of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And if they didn't, they have to legitimately take it off, even if it was on there.
Okay.
So, however, so if you take that away, because, I mean, I couldn't write a book and give it to my clients and have Nightingale sell it if it didn't work all the time.
Right.
So, and that was my objective. My objective was a process that works 100% of the time.
Right. It's so, not a fix for what's the past. It's saying now how you get a good FICO score no matter where you're starting from.
No matter where. I
right.
don't care if you have a 450 credit score. I have a client right now, 467 credit score. He came in, and I said, follow these steps, and I guarantee you 100% of the time you'll be over 720. It's just going to take a little bit longer than if you had a 650.
What is a typical time expenditure for that journey?
You know what? It depends on where the person is. We've had people jump 80, 90, 100 points in 30 days, and we've had people where it's taken, you know, a year and a half, 2 years to do because their credit was so bad. The essence of it, Bruce, is once someone goes through a major delinquency or a foreclosure or bankruptcy or anything like that, most people, when they do that, they throw up their hands. And many times what I hear over and over, they say, I'm just going to become a cash-only citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I don't need credit anymore. As if they just want to bury their head and not worry about it.
Right.
But in our industry and in our life, we need credit.
Absolutely. I mean, well, we also need them to be capable of buying another piece of real estate.
There it is.
We can't. We just can't. We can't lose 100,000 buyers and just go, hey, you can be a renter from now on.
Yeah. So. And the thing is, you know, I mean, if you just... based on what your predictions are, you know, it's going to take time for this market to turn around. So, and then, so it's perfect timing. I mean, if you had a foreclosure and you were put into a loan program that you didn't understand, and you know you were, you know, in a position where you had to give back the property. Well, let me tell you, by the time this thing turns around, you can be positioned with your credit.
So we're almost out of time. Let me ask for your contact information so people can call you or go to your website, please.
Sure. My name is Philip Tyrone. Our phone number, you can call us 310-453-1901, 453-1901, or toll free 877-6 720 score. That's 877-720-7687. And my website is 7steps to 720 with the numbers spelled out, 7 and 720.
Philip, thanks so much for joining us.
Great, Bruce.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.